This Monday morning on Wake Up with Hope, we're making muesli with Gina and her team. Plus, we have another encouraging Reflections of Hope episode, an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, and music from Carmen Cruz. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. You know, I am delighted to be starting the week together with you. Now, you may be wondering, where is Heidi? She should be with me. Well, you would be right. But instead of Heidi today, we have someone just as special. I'd like to invite my son, Elijah, to join me here today for Wake Up with Hope.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, you know, we hope you had a fantastic weekend filled with the peace and love of God. Now, today is a special day, and it makes it just great for Elijah to introduce what today is.
Yes, today is International Youth Day, a day that allows us to focus on the difficulties many of our young people face from ages 6 to 13 throughout the world. Things like childhood poverty and the lack of basic math and reading skills.
Wow, and there's a lot of youth who struggle in those areas. And today, we want to encourage you to look for special events going on in your community to honor this day, or consider looking into membership programs and how you can get involved and fill the gap for young people in need. Thank you, Elijah. I know that that's going to be something that many youth today will be greatly appreciating.
Yes, and we also want to highlight that it is Mother's Day in Thailand.
Today in Thailand?
Yes.
Interesting.
So, we send happy Mother's Day greetings to all of our mothers viewing from Thailand.
Awesome. Well, let's begin our program now as we take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1990, fossil hunter Susan Hendrickson unearthed three massive bones protruding from a cliff near Faith, South Dakota. These bones were part of the largest Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton ever found. Remarkably, the skeleton was more than 90% complete and exceptionally well-preserved, providing scientists with valuable insights into the life of a T-Rex.
Wow, friends, what an amazing discovery. And did you know that the Black Hills Institute of Geological Research paid an equivalent of what today would be over $10,000 to the landowner in order to be able to excavate the full skeleton? I don't know about you, but not many people would be excited to give up that much money for bones. But however, the buyer understood the incredible value of these fossils. They knew the information they'd be able to gather and the amazing real-life treasure they had just stumbled upon. You know, it's like the parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, of the man who found treasure in a field and sold everything that he had to purchase it. Now, he knew the value of that treasure. His life savings couldn't compare. So how about you, friends? Have you understood the value of the amazing treasure God has given us in Jesus Christ? You know, a never-changing friend, full of immense, unconditional love, a peace giver, a problem solver, a shoulder to lean on, and one you can always talk to. You know, friends, nothing compares to having the God of the universe on your side. Nothing. It's just an unimaginable treasure.
Amen. What a treasure. It's now time to go into the kitchen as Gia, Olive, and Moses whip up a delicious muesli recipe this morning.
So what are we making?
Fresh muesli.
We're making fresh muesli. So this is a recipe from a lovely family that lives locally here. They have changed their whole family's health by just changing certain things in their diet. Their breakfast is one of them. And this is their recipe. And I just love this recipe because it's quick. It's easy. You make it at night and you've got breakfast for you and your family. It's pretty good. So I'll show you how to make it. It's very simple. We've got oats, rolled oats. And we're going to put the oats in there. And can I have the dry ingredients first? So how about you give me your coconut? So desiccated coconut, do you want to put it in there? Okay, all of it, all with the oats, very good. Can you put your sultanas in there? Put them all in there. Oh, you're leaving some for yourself. Can you put them all in there? Okay, so we got the dry ingredients in there. So what we'll do is mix that around, and then we'll put the wet ingredients in there. So one of them calls for a can, like 1 can of crushed pineapple. Make sure you look at the ingredients, because not all crushed pineapple is the same. This one is 98% pineapple. There's no concentrate or sugar added to it. So we can't be banging there. Okay, so we put pineapple, crushed pineapple. This is gonna give it an awesome sweet flavor. And we've got some apple juice. Now, this apple juice is, as you can see, it's very cloudy, because in the fridge section at the supermarket, you can find freshly squeezed apple juice. It's really good. It's 100% apple, no concentrated added either, no concentrate added. Sorry.
It definitely doesn't look like apple juice to me.
It doesn't, does it? Because it's so cloudy. There was actually bits in it. No, it's not. And we're actually going to use some almond milk as well. And I am going to grate an apple, okay? So let's grate, grate, grate. Well, good thing the table's clean, eh? Okay, so I get the apple in there. I love making messes when you're cooking. Okay, so this is what it's like in real life, right? Mix it all through, mix the apple. Good mixing, you did such a good job, Moses. All done, thank you. We're gonna put a lid on it. We've got one already made, and I'm gonna put this in the fridge, and this will last in the fridge for 3 to 4 days. So this is the one I made last night. That looks awesome. So that's the consistency. It's like fresh muesli. And we're going to serve it up. And this is how we would serve it up, with some fresh fruit on top, maybe some strawberries. Olives, no. Not olives. I've got some fresh strawberries and toasted almonds to throw on top there. Your kids might not want. Hey? Yeah, do you want to put some on there?
Yeah.
There you go.
I
want
to fry some almonds.
Yeah, awesome.
Nothing.
Some toasted almonds, and there you have it. Breakfast is served, and that was so quick. There you go. You can put some on top too. Okay, all done. That's enough. Plenty.
Aesthetically beautiful and structurally sound, the Golden Gate Bridge is San Francisco's pride and joy. But it is also considered a dark, dreary, dead-end road for so many people. Let's tune in on today's Reflections of Hope episode as we learn a life-saving lesson.
We're here in the beautiful Golden State of California, in the city of San Francisco, where we find one of the most beautiful and surely the most photographed bridge in all the world, the Golden Gate Bridge. Let's go check it out. The Golden Gate Bridge is the iconic symbol of San Francisco. When it opened in 1937, it was the longest suspension bridge in all the world, connecting its main city to its upper peninsula. Considered as one of the great wonders of the modern world by the American Society of Civil Engineers. Aesthetically beautiful and structurally sound, it is San Francisco's pride and joy. But the Golden Gate Bridge is also known as a dark and dreary dead-end road for so many people. It is the second most used suicide bridge in the world, claiming the lives of over 1,500 people in death throughout the years. In fact, it's on this very road that one of my beloved friends tried to take her life. In death.
A cold, dark night.
She grew up in a very loving environment surrounded by life, but on the inside she was in a cage of emptiness and spiritual death. She had made many mistakes in the realm of her relationships, and because of her brokenness she was discarded like trash. The devil whispered lies into her ears saying that God doesn't love you, you're dirty, you're unworthy. You might as well end it all right now, here. And so she drove to this bridge, intending to jump off to take her life. She was at the end of her road, and she felt like there was no way out.
Where is the love? Where is the God? Does it exist? 'Cause love.
God of grace came to her rescue. Love came down to bring restoration. On her way to the bridge, she received a phone call from a loved one that assured her that her life is still worth something. That no matter what happened in her past, she is still deeply loved. The good Lord was giving her a second chance in infinite love and mercy. In that defining moment, she realized that Christ was the golden gate, providing a way of escape from her depression and despair. She realized that His death on the cross, not hers on this bridge, was the solution to her sorrows. And so she accepted His way of escape and entered into the golden gate of His grace. So instead of jumping off this bridge, she crossed over. And as she crossed through this literal bridge, in reality, spiritually, she was crossing over from death into life, from sorrow into salvation, from fear into freedom. She made it through by the bridge of His love. And today she has hope and she has peace. You see, this story of redemption illustrates the reality that no matter how far we have fallen, love came down to bring restoration. I want you to know that there is a loving God that came all the way down from heaven to earth to meet us in our misery. He came to a world that was cut off by sin, a world that was committing spiritual suicide and determined disobedience, a world separated from the heavenly peninsula by a bay of brokenness. And God so loved this world that He came to build a bridge that all may enter freely without a toll and without a price, a bridge for all of humanity to pass from death into life. It is a bridge made of one cross and three nails. For one cross plus three nails equals forgiveness for all who will receive it. Now outwardly, this bridge may look weak, but this wooden bridge is more structurally sound than the steel suspension bridge we stood upon earlier today. For on that wooden cross, suspended in midair, hung one who held the weight of the world in His hands. One who is strong enough to endure all the massive misery and the burden of brokenness that sin had brought upon the human race. And that man's name is Jesus. He is one that died so that we might live. Please don't let His death be in vain. Stay on the bridge. The devil may be telling you today that because of the sins of your past, that there is no hope for you and that you've gone too far. But friends, please stay on the bridge. Today you might find yourself drowning in a sea of sorrow due to a terrible accident, the loss of a loved one, a financial hardship, a deadly diagnosis, maybe the betrayal of a friend, the unfaithfulness of a spouse, the backstabbing of a brother, the rejection of a child, or the indifference of the church. But my friends, I plead with you, don't jump off the bridge. There is an answer to your problem and a solution to your sorrows. As Jesus hung upon the cross, He was tempted to come down, tempted to jump off of the bridge. But Jesus stayed on the bridge for you. It is His death, not yours, that is the way of escape. And because He stayed on the wooden bridge for you, today I encourage you to stay on the heavenly bridge with Him. And if you do, soon you will experience the joy of entering into the heavenly golden gate to experience life forevermore. And by God's grace, I'll see you on the other side.
Carmen Cruz joins us now to bless us in song as she sings Brighter Days.
Get up, I'm not even out the door. It's too much, what am I looking for? I'm stuck with too many problems, so many mistakes. Will there be a day where I don't always feel insecure? Where I know that hope will endure and loving will come naturally, and all of the world will live peacefully. And it's time to make a stand and show the world I can. Yeah, I can. It's time for me to wake up and see the brighter days. Listen to what they have to say. Bring out the sunny side of things and make it a brighter day. It's time for me to let go at the clear blue skies. Have faith and just stop asking why. Bring out the sunny side of things and make it a brighter day. You said you'd always be there for me. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe. I'm sure your promise is good. You've opened the door. I've been there before, so I move on right towards the sun. bright sky's already begun, and I look back, see nothing but pain. I keep moving on, bright sunshine or rain, and it's time to make a stand and show the world I can. Yeah, I can. It's time for me to wake up and see the brighter days. Listen to what they have to say. Bring out the sunny side of things and make it a brighter day. It's time for me to let go of the clear blue skies. Have faith and just stop asking why. Bring out the sunny side of things and make it a brighter day. Oh, it's time to make a stand and show the world I can. Yeah, I can. And see the brighter days. Listen to what they have to say. Bring out the sunny side of things and make it a brighter day. It's time for me to look up at the clear blue skies. Have faith and just stop asking why. Bring out the sunny side of things and make it a brighter day.
If you are enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll have today's devotional thought from our friends at The Voice of Prophecy. It's now time for our devotional thought, brought to us today by our friends at The Voice of Prophecy.
You know, not long after I became a Christian, my grandmother passed away. The family gathered from all over for her service, and I remember it being an awkward family event for me. I was a new Christian, and my immediate family wasn't happy about my faith decision, and they made it really clear. That weekend, I brushed off the passive-aggressive comments, and I smiled through uncomfortable questioning. The family was grieving, and I did my best to not add to our pain. Well, after the service, we gathered in the church basement for refreshments. An older man from the church leaned over to me and he quietly said, "You're a Christian. I can tell." I stumbled over how to respond. Kindly, he explained, "I saw your face light up when we sang the hymn." I didn't know what to say. I was partially embarrassed, conscious of my family and their disapproval of my new faith, and I was certainly humbled. A stranger could see my love for Jesus on my face? This was all so new for me, and that experience never left me. You know, we've been talking in recent weeks about Jesus' messages for us in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, which begin with "blessed are," blessed or happy. And the eighth beatitude, Jesus' instructions on how we can be happy, well, it doesn't at first glance seem to fit with the others. And so how did these words make it onto Jesus' how to be happy list? Let's read them from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Persecution. We don't associate persecution with happiness, do we? Persecution in this context, well, it means being treated differently for our faith, being looked down upon, mistreated, and or physically harmed, even killed for one's faith. Persecution has been familiar to Christians throughout the ages. Jesus himself was hated, mistreated, and put to death on the cross. The apostles were persecuted and killed. Early Christians were martyred. So why does persecution happen? Well, those who are identified with a religious faith are identified with the tenets of that faith. Early Christians were identified with the teachings of Jesus, messages like the Beatitudes. They were identified for believing that Jesus was the Messiah that the Old Testament had promised, and that he died, and that he rose again, and that he would come back again. Christians are identified with these fundamental beliefs. And as much as we have been persecuted for our Christian beliefs, there's more to this beatitude. How does persecution factor into happiness? When we're persecuted, we are identified as being like Jesus. We're marked as being part of His family, part of what He stands for. Strangers can see on our faces that we're different. We've spent time with Jesus. And Jesus said more about this persecution as we continue in verses 11 and 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Let's read them. It says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus tells us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad when we're persecuted. Exceedingly glad? When we think in eternal and heavenly terms, this makes perfect sense. You see, when we're persecuted, it means that we are identified with Christ. We're His. We're part of all that He stands for in this world, in this universe. And being identified with Jesus, that is something to be exceedingly happy about. The pains and discomforts of persecution, well, they aren't easy. They're difficult, even fatal for some. But in the scope of all eternity, these pains are worthwhile. Blessed or happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God's grace in our lives today. Today we can experience the kingdom of heaven right here on earth, and it will be our home for eternity. This beatitude that we just read is the eighth. And remember, the first beatitude that Jesus shared promised the kingdom of heaven to those who are poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are humble. They're honest about their human condition. And throughout the Beatitudes, we see the progression of the Christian experience. We'll talk about that more another time. But for now, let's not miss that this final beatitude ended the same way that the first one did. We who follow Him can be happy today and happy for eternity as we experience the kingdom of heaven with Him. You know, visiting with my aunt while we were together for my grandmother's memorial service, I learned that my grandma had accepted Jesus recently too. She had accepted Him at around the same time that I had. My grandma Jean, my namesake, she was a sister in Christ. I wish that I had known. I wish that we could have talked together about our experiences with Christ. My aunt told me that one of the caregivers in her home had shared Jesus with my grandma. She led her to Christ. I'm so thankful to that woman of God. I'm thankful that one day my grandmother and I will be able to talk about our experiences together. I hold that hope in my heart. Even though it makes me sad for the loss of that experience in this life, it makes me joyful for that promise in eternity. You know, that family gathering for my grandma's memorial service, it was uncomfortable for me as a new Christian. Was I persecuted? I wouldn't say so. Not when I think of those who lost their lives for their faith throughout the ages. Martyrs like Stephen, stoned to death, like Polycarp, Jan Hus, and John Wycliffe. And in more recent times, women and men like Jim Elliot, a missionary martyred in 1956. You know, a few years before his death, Jim Elliot wrote these words in his journal, quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose," end quote. Being mistreated because of our faith could be categorized as a loss, but is it a loss if we gain what we cannot lose? To be identified with Jesus as one of His is worth the temporal losses. Gaining the kingdom of heaven is the ultimate way to be happy for all eternity. Well, I'm thankful to start this new week with you. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sharing with us 8 ways that we can be happy in this life. Father, when we are persecuted for our faith, it doesn't feel good. We don't feel like celebrating those moments. And yet, Father, we joyfully choose to be identified with you and with who you are. Nothing can make us happier. We anticipate with exceeding joy your kingdom of heaven. Amen. Well, happiness is found in persecution? Jesus' words make sense when we think of them in terms of all eternity. Well, thank you for joining us this morning for a few words of hope. Hope in God's word. Take them with you every step of the way.
Thank you. That was such a blessing.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us here today and watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
We invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and we'll be talking about how our food affects our brain. Be sure to join us.
You know, that's going to be a topic I don't want to miss.
Yes.
Now, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Our free Bible study guides have helped many people connect with Jesus. So be sure to start yours today. Again, that's hope.study.
Amen. Now, before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And it says,
"For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lost their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God."
You know, friends, as you go about your day and throughout your life, always keep in mind that God paid the highest price for you to be saved. You're worth more than all the gold or silver in the world. God has amazing plans for your life beyond anything you could ever dream up. So we invite you to follow Him. Discover His amazing plans for your life. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, today Elijah and I have been so blessed to be able to just come closer to you and do so with our friends viewing here today. And Father, we pray that you would come and that you would find in our hearts a permanent resting place. Abide in us today. And may our hearts be filled with hope as we face all and every circumstance that may come our way. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.